The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Future Proof Radio with host Shane Wolf. We can definitely change the world if we start with ourselves. In today's show, Shane and his guests will show you how the environment can be improved at home, at work, and in the community, as well as improve your health and save money. Now, here is Shane Wolf.
Hi, and welcome to Future Proof Radio. My name is Shane Wolf. Thanks for joining us. This episode isn't going to be recorded live. With me, I have a guest here in Saskatoon. His name is Ron LePage, and he is the owner of Verico Homes. I'll get to talking about what Ron does in a minute, but as you heard at the beginning of the show and the intro, it says, you know, we must start with ourselves and explore the ideas of our world and what is possible. And this show is to talk about, you know, what are we doing? What's possible rather than what was? What have we been doing? What can we do versus what we currently do? And a lot of people really get hung up on this, and I think I believe it's really preventing us from moving forward as a species. So when you're thinking about this, you know, live into the future. Like, the past happened, now is what counts, and let's plan for the future. Let's build a better world. Let's future-proof the world. And if you have any comments on the show, please email me. My email is shane@futureproofradio.com. I'd love to know what you think, or if you have ideas for the show. And also, because I'm an engineer, it's not anything we talk about in this show is basically based on generalities, because engineers are paid to give specific advice. And we can't give you specific advice. I don't know where you're listening from or anything about your current situation, but we want to teach you general things that you can understand and then take action on. So nothing said in this show is to be taken as professional advice. But basically, if you are familiar with the options available to you, it empowers you and it gives you the ability to take action and educate yourself to make a difference. So if you're learning anything from this, please share it as well. And it starts with you always. In the last episode, we talked to my friend Felico from Costa Rica and discussed an eco center there and how it's beneficial to build green. And we talked about principles from my book and how the climate and the situation in Costa Rica is much different than Saskatchewan, which is a very harsh climate. But if you understand what you can do in a harsh climate, you should be able to do things better anywhere. And when we understand this, it's like, what's stopping us? Why aren't we doing this? And this is why this is such an awesome episode to have you here, Ron, is because the biggest part of what's stopping us, in my opinion and what I've seen, is the economics of the situation. So we're going to spend a lot of time talking about that. So thank you, Ron, for joining me. Could you tell me about yourself and what do you do? What's your...
Sure. Thanks, Shane. It's my pleasure to be on the program today. My background is really a financial background. I'm a chartered accountant and a certified management consultant. I spent 30 years of my life with one of the greatest firms in Canada, Deloitte Consulting. And in that time, spent most of my waking hours helping my clients, helping add value to many of my clients in many different ways. I took early retirement from Deloitte, and I went back to the U of S to do a Master's of Science in Environmental Strategy. And my focus was on housing. I wanted to study about green homes and how they worked. And as I started doing the research, I quickly realized that the technologies were all there. The real question was, why aren't people building green homes? What's stopping them from investing in these green homes? My work came to a breakdown of really three types of people that that buy green homes. There's what I call an economic buyer. So he's the guy that's just saying, you know, if I can save $50 on my energy, I'll invest $50 to save that money, or I'll invest $40 to save 50 or something like that. The second kind of buyer is you know, the kind of guy that you and I probably hang out around with a lot right now, sort of a greeny type, wants to save the environment.
Salt of the earth
for a bunch of different reasons. They've decided that they want to focus on saving the environment. They also have an economic threshold, though. Like, they can't spend endless amounts of money on this. They'll spend a certain amount of money. And I call that their economic threshold. It might be higher than the pure economic buyer. So the pure economic buyer might say, I'll just spend as much money as I'm going to save. The environmentalist will spend more than that. The third group is what I called a comfort buyer or a lifestyle buyer. And he was buying a home like this because he thought it was the right thing to do. It was a lifestyle choice. Have a comfortable home, but I'll spend a little more money to make sure it's sustainable, environmentally friendly. They also have an economic threshold, but it might be higher. I think of Jay Leno, first guy to put thousands of solar panels on his rooftop of his shop so that when he's keeping his car collection, it was being heated with solar energy. So, you know, obviously wasn't worried about the economics of it, but was more worried about a lifestyle decision he'd made around energy. The problem came, though, when we started thinking about it, was that how do people make that economic decision? Like, you know, there's so many ways to make that decision. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of effort with my thesis work trying to come up with a model that helped people decide where they should spend their money in the most cost-effective ways. And that led to the start of my company, Verico Homes, and the concept of smart green. And the smart green is economical, ecological. So it's sort of balancing your investment with your environmental savings.
Mm-hmm. That's a difficult model to make, because I know that when people ask me about this, it's really difficult to give them a solid answer, because and you can't until you really get down and look at the situation. The easiest would be light bulbs, you know, where you're changing out LEDs for incandescents or even for compact fluorescent lights. Now you can do a very easy calculation, but some of these things you can't really give them a solid thing. We're going to talk about insulation and walls, because that's the biggest thing in, you know, a colder climate, but that's a very difficult calculation to make, as opposed to a fan or a VFD or a light bulb or a very simple piece that you can take in and out.
Yeah, that's correct. The significant difference in the calculation is if I replace a 60-watt light bulb with an 8-watt LED, I can immediately tell you what my savings will be based on how many hours I use that light, and you can do a calculation very easily.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with most of the other energy-saving things, like insulation, is that there's diminishing returns. So if I go from R12 insulation to R24, I may save as much energy as going from R24 to R48, but the cost mm-hmm. keeps getting higher and the savings are less. So that diminishing return really complicates the calculations.
Yeah, it's an exponential
exactly.
thing with R value, which is something I didn't really understand fully until, when I took the passive house training, it became very apparent to me. But it until you actually work with the numbers in great detail, it's difficult, and it's also a lifestyle thing. Like, when people turn their heat up, most people don't think, you know, where's my energy coming from? This is one of the things we covered last episode was, you know, they don't think, gee, I wonder if this energy that's heating my home is ruining any water anywhere in the world. You know, where did this energy come from? Is it from, was it made from hydroelectricity? Was it made from burning coal? Was it made from natural gas? Was that natural gas fracked out of the earth? You know, how did this energy get to be in my house? And that's something that I think people really need to start thinking about, because as a person who cares deeply about the environment and sees the damage that we can do, I think it makes no sense whatsoever to put something that's permanent at greater importance than money, which is a tool to make things happen. You know, we tend to cut corners in the world to you know, save money. And I mean, you know, it's an amazing tool, and that's what it's for. But when you start destroying water or the air or the climate, you know, in exchange for something which is quite literally created out of thin air by banks to make things happen, you really need to start questioning what has value in the world. And I really recommend the book, The Value of Nothing by Raj Patel, if you're interested in that subject. But when it comes to making these decisions, I think that you're completely on the ball with the economic threshold, because people really do need to know. Like, I can't afford, I have crappy old windows here. We're in my we're in my condo recording this right now, and I chose to spend my money starting my business, you know. And people have their own economic needs to make things happen. But moving forward, I guess we're going to talk about new versus retrofits. And one thing we talked about a little bit before the show was, you know, when it comes to building new, it's very important to do things right, because a retrofit is far more expensive.
Yeah, that's right. I think one of the challenges that you and I'll have as we talk to people about this new approach is that there is an incremental cost, a small incremental cost, but there is an incremental cost to investing in these technologies, these energy-saving technologies. And the problem is, with energy costs so low, especially in Saskatchewan right now, that we're building houses today that are going to last for 50 years based on today's energy prices.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you put any kind of a common sense growth number to our energy costs over the next 50 years, and the houses we build today are going to have to be retrofitted, because no one will be able to pay the power bills that I expect we'll have in 50 years,
mm-hmm.
just using the same growth factor we've had for the last 50. And that's just impossible. So we're not investing properly now, which means all these homes have to be retrofitted, and the retrofit costs double or triple of what it would cost to do it right today.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the other thing also that I talk about in my book, and like here in Saskatchewan, this is a big deal. It might not be such a big deal depending on where you are, but I mean, if we do have a power outage or we do have an emergency such as an ice storm or any kind of issue like that, you know, we don't have that energy. We're building these thin wall homes and buildings, and taking for granted that we're always going to have access to energy. If the power does go out and it's minus 20 or minus 40 here, which actually happened last year, our mentor's house, Dr. Rob Dumont, he lost 2.5 degrees Celsius over that 3-hour span. I know of people that were wearing their snowsuits in their house in the same area of the city. And I mean, that's a scary thing, because a power outage for 3 hours is not a big deal. But when you have something like an ice storm, I don't know how long Toronto was out last winter, but it was out for a while. We got to take a break right now, but when we come back, we'll talk about the retrofit costs versus the startup or the initial building costs, and just kind of work that in with the way the economics weigh out for people and how you approach your customers with this information.
Perfect. Thank you.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at futureproofmybuilding.com/register.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
For 27 years, KidStar has empowered thousands of kids across the country.
And now we have the opportunity to empower children around the world.
KidStar is announcing a new radio show called Voyage Earth.
Voyage Earth will empower kids from across the world.
KidStar has created a Kickstarter campaign just for this new undertaking. By pledging to Kickstarter, you pledge for a future of empowered people to come.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworms. I want to thank you for being a backer of our Kickstarter.
KidStar, we empower kids.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to shane@futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Okay, hi, and welcome back to Future Proof Radio. My name's Shane Wolf. I'm here with my guest, Ron LePage. And today we're talking about the economics of building above and beyond the code or the current standard. And I guess before we get into the numbers and how that works, I guess we should start with, you know, what do we do here in Saskatchewan and I guess most of Canada? Pretty much every house is built with a 2x6 framed wall, usually 16 inches apart. These 2x6 stud walls are built, and the cavity is typically filled with what is called an R20 bat. Most people don't realize, though, that these bats of insulation, and you know, when you're putting plywood or OSB against the walls and nailing everything in and all the thermal bridging that happens, that R20 wall actually performs more like an R16 wall, and there's a lot of air leakage, and there's a lot of inherent issues that the energy nerds like Ron and I and Rob would consider bad. So I guess what do you advocate for? What do you build for your customers, Ron? Maybe get into that and the economics behind that.
Sure. I'll just start by talking a bit about, you know, the cost increases that we're facing. So as we said when we were just closing the first part of this, we're building houses today based on today's energy prices, not on the future. When I was 16, I bought my first car. It was a 52 Ford, and it burned a lot of gas, but I remember buying gas at 44 cents a gallon, so that's about 10 cents a liter. So even with today's prices at the phenomenally low dollar a liter that we're bragging about all over the place today, that's still a 10 times increase in the last 40 years. And, you know, luckily for us, my car is long gone, but there's lots of houses around that were built in 1942 that we're still living in.
Exactly.
And the houses we're building today will hopefully be here 50 or 100 years from now.
I would hope at least 100 years.
maybe not for some of them, but yeah. That would be the goal for the homes I'm building. So that's the important concept we have to think about, is how much energy are we going to save over the life of the home by spending a little more money now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I use two different thoughts on this. So one is I do have clients that come to me and say, I just want to minimize my energy at all costs, at whatever the cost is. So that's a net zero home is what I would call that. And money's no object. Let's just build this home to absolutely minimize or eliminate our energy costs. And that's actually fairly easy to work with that kind of client, because money's no object. Let's just spend as much money as we can in every area to maximize our energy savings. And that's fairly easy to do. Most of my clients, however, have that economic side to them, that economic threshold we talked about before, and they're saying, okay, yeah, I'll spend some money, but where should I spend it? So we have to sit down and do the calculation and say, okay, well, depending on how much you're going to save, you should spend this much money. So that's where it becomes complicated. So in your wall example, you're right, an R20 wall is really about an R16 with the thermal bridging from the studs and everything else. We have technologies to make that wall an R40, an R60, an R80 wall. We've got the technology today to do that. We can, you know, there's a number of different designs that even my company uses to build higher thickness walls, more energy efficient walls.
And by the way, I talk about all those different techniques in my book, which you can get through my website. There's a second edition, which I recently put out there, and there's a free edition. I didn't plug it in the first segment of the show, but join my mailing list at futureproofmybuilding.com, and I'll send you a lot of information about how to do this and more why is it important. And we're going to talk about retrofit things, but sorry to cut you off, Ron.
No,
but you reminded me that I haven't done that yet. So
that's a very good point, Shane. I think the information in your book is exactly the way I design the homes. Well, we were both mentored by Rob DeMont, so our philosophies are obviously very similar. The challenge is, as I said, the technologies out there today to build any thickness of wall. I could build that wall 3 feet thick if I wanted to with R300. But the question is, at what point does it start making sense, mm-hmm. or
yeah,
stop making sense to continue to thicken that wall?
It's not Mars we're living on,
that's
it's Saskatchewan.
So. That's right. So, like I said, for the guy that just wants to get to net zero, I could just keep building that wall till it's so thick that and making the house smaller and smaller and smaller till finally he's got a house that's net zero. But most buyers aren't like that. So what I do is I sit down and say, okay, if you're living in a home that's heated now on very inexpensive natural gas versus a home that's heated by electricity, we can afford to spend a little less money on insulation because your savings in the future aren't as big. So we'll usually go with an R40 wall on a home that has natural gas for heating. A lot of my clients don't want natural gas in their home at all, so then we go to electric, which is more expensive, which also means I can then go to an R60 wall, mm-hmm. and still save the money in the long term. So depending on their energy source, we can make a different decision, mm-hmm. about the design of that home.
Well, and also the thing too about going with electric heat is you can put electric heat in different rooms. So if you're not in a room, you don't necessarily need to be heating that room.
Absolutely.
And that's another huge advantage. And the like having a source heat like that is a lot cheaper than installing a furnace, and you know, your ongoing cost, as well as it depends where you live too. Maybe you have to pay a fee to bring in those gas lines and bring
exactly.
in that thing that weighs into the equation as well.
Yep.
And all of these things really weigh into it. So this is why it's so difficult to give someone a straight answer when you're talking about, you know, green building and your savings and your costs.
The savings part is fairly easy to calculate. The costs are dropping every day, and that's the mm-hmm. beauty of it. I typically, when I'm working with my clients, I'll say, okay, this is how much you'll save. Some things we can obviously say, well, yeah, you should just do that. Your earlier example of LED lighting is a very good one. You put in an LED light, you can immediately calculate the savings, and we can tell you time and time again, the more LED lights you have in your house, the more you're going to save. So let's do it.
Mm-hmm. And if you're in a warmer climate too, it's a great investment, because now all of a sudden you don't have to pay as much for your air conditioning because you're not producing as much stray heat. And I could tell a really interesting story about LEDs, but the thing is that the cost has come down. In 2001, I met a professor who was working on a project, and the cost of those LEDs at that time was over $1 a bulb, and now they're in the pennies a bulb, like for the actual individual LEDs. And that's kind of like the growth of this, of these different technologies, is as they become implemented, and the computer is the best example there is. But the same thing with solar, you know, as time goes on, if you're putting in natural gas now, and the cost is definitely going to go up. You know, maybe you want to put in electric now and install solar in the future, and solar ready your home is one thing that I wrote in the book to do that. So, you know, maybe you can't afford solar right now, but you want to do it in the future. And it depends on the rules and the situation where you live. Maybe it's not cost effective, maybe it is, maybe there's a subsidy, maybe there's a grid tied situation, you know.
Yep. The decision around solar electric, like the photovoltaic panels, is at its threshold right now, or its borderline right now in Saskatchewan, with the low cost of energy and our relatively high cost of installed watt of solar panel. But we just crossed that threshold last year, and that's spurred me to install photovoltaic in my own home. So I am net zero on electricity now.
Oh, excellent.
And I've got a huge house on a hilltop over the river. And our total heating bill last year was just over $500. You know, so that's just amazing. Mm-hmm. Using the Dumont philosophies, we've got an R44 wall in our house and an R80 insulation in the attic, R20 under the slab, very, very airtight design, which is typical of most vertical homes. And as if you've studied passive house, you know that's a very big focus for them. Mm-hmm. We also designed it with very little thermal bridging and a lot of thermal mass inside. So, you know, your story about Dr. Dumont's house surviving that cold spell, we had the same thing happen where we were, and our house dropped about the same, a bigger house than Rob's, but because we had more thermal mass, it held the heat better. Mm-hmm. than his did. So you know, it's a good story, and it's not hard to do once you decide to do it.
Mm-hmm. Like the technologies, well, and understanding are all there. It, yeah.
Technologies are all there.
In terms of thermal mass too, the way that I like to explain that is, if you've ever been to a cold cabin where the heat hasn't been on, you turn that heat on, it's going to take a long time to heat up. Just because, and this is normal for me when I go to the cabin in the winter time, but it takes a long time to heat mass up compared to air. But once it's heated, it's good. In the same thing as in a warmer climate, you know, when you have thermal mass inside and you bring a lot of fresh air in at night when it's cooler, that cool air takes the heat out and cools the mass off, so that during the day when it's absorbing heat, everything likes to find balance in nature. And that's what thermal mass does, is it brings everything into a balance so that you don't have a bunch of temperature swings when you're building with passive solar, which I'm sure most of your designs focus on, as well as the thermal mass and the high R values.
Sure. They all work together, Shane. Like the high insulation reduces the amount of energy that house uses, right? Because it's better insulated. If my homeowner has access to sun, like not all lots face south or mm-hmm. north, not all lots.
But what if we design neighborhoods that did
exactly.
that? That
yeah,
would be
that would
no,
be like that'd be a good that'd be make my life easier. But the point is, I can. If we have that opportunity, it's beautiful to use. So then we'll put lots of windows on the south side. My house uses about 24% solar for heating. So 24%
really?
Of
great.
My power bill is paid for by the sun shining in. So even on the coldest 40 below day, the furnace is shut down because the sun shines in, heats up the thermal floor. We've got concrete in our floors. And the house stays warm till late in the evening from the sun shining in. So, you know, it, again, that's a design thing that's easy to do once you decide to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, in ancient times, they knew to face the sun, face towards the sun 3,000 years ago. I have a quote from the Passive House website and on my website. It was like, only primitives and barbarians don't build their cities to face the winter sun. That was said 3,000 years ago by a Greek dude. I don't remember his name, but well, we should probably go to a break right away here. And when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about retrofits. Does that sound good?
Sure. That'd be perfect. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll talk about retrofits when we come back.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at futureproofmybuilding.com/register.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN. Or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Shane at futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Okay, welcome back to Future Proof Radio. My name's Shane Wolf. I'm with Ron LePage here, and we're discussing the economics of building green. This is a topic that a lot of people typically, this is what scares people away from doing this stuff, and we wanted to bring it out in the open and discuss the challenges that there are. And by the way, if you're interested in this subject, I wrote a book about it. You can get a free version by joining my mailing list, and I'll send you a lot of interesting tips and information about this. You can get it at futureproofmybuilding.com, and go check it out. You'll learn a lot. We can't talk about everything in an hour's radio show, but we were discussing during the break here about going into retrofits, and Ron, you can speak to this quite well. So
sure. Thanks, Shane. I think the important thing to understand is the difference between a retrofit and a new home is that the principles are the same. So in your book, you talk about a house using energy for space heating, for hot water, and for lights and appliances. So whether that house is brand new or it's a 50-year-old house, the house is using energy for the same things.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is that if you build a house right to start with, it's probably cheaper to do it then than it is to fix it. So a very good example, you know, when you think about what the things we can do to reduce our space heating costs. So in Saskatchewan, typically our homes, 60% of our energy is used for space heating. In Honolulu, it's zero, but here it's 60% of our energy. 20% for domestic hot water and 20% for lights and appliances is the typical kind of mix. So if we tackle the space heating one, so if we're building a new home, we'd build a thicker wall as we were talking about before, we'd add insulation to the attic, we'd add insulation to the foundation walls, we'd add insulation underneath the foundation, we'd do things to reduce our air leakage, we'd put in a good furnace, we'd put in or completely eliminate the need for air conditioning, we'd install it, we'd design the house with passive solar as we were talking about it before. We do things like proper shading and awnings, put in the thermal mass. Those are the kinds of things that we would do in a new home. You think about a retrofit, you can do the same things, mm-hmm. but it's just more expensive to do.
And difficult,
so,
too.
And more difficult. So even something as simple as adding more insulation to the attic, right? So you think, well, gee, that's not hard to do. I'll just open the attic and I'll blow in another foot of insulation. But even then, if your rafters aren't designed properly, you're going to end up with less insulation on your rafters. So doing it to begin with, when we design a new home, we make sure the rafters have a 2-foot hip, it's called, on it, where we've got mm-hmm. room for that insulation to fit, the extra insulation to fit level right across the house.
And you want to make sure, too, if you're doing it in a retrofit, that you don't block all the venting. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot of moisture buildup in your attic, and then you're going to rot your roof, and that's really bad. Yeah, and ice damming.
Okay. So the point is that those things are the same. You can do some of it. So, for instance, adding insulation to the attic, you can do it somewhat. You can, you know, I've seen a lot of old homes where they're now insulating their basement finally. After 40 years of concrete walls in the basement, they're starting to insulate their basements. You know, you can reduce the air leakage by just putting in better windows or sealing around your windows. Or, you know, you can work at it and make it happen. The tough thing with a retrofit, of course, is the walls. So if mm-hmm. you're trying to make those walls thicker, that's a real challenge. And when we looked at it, when Verico Homes looked at this challenge, we actually went back to Europe, to Germany, where the passive house started, and said, well, what are you guys doing? And we came back with a model there, which we're calling X-Wrap, of putting insulation on the exterior of the home so that you don't have to completely retrofit the whole house. We're just working on the outside. So it's a cheap, a lower cost alternative to insulating the exterior walls.
Do you have any issues with the city, like giving you trouble with regard to your clearances and leeways and that kind of thing? Is that an issue?
Yeah, there's differences of opinion on exactly how this exterior wall should be done. And we've received different advice depending on the permitting process at the time. So we're struggling with that, and it's going to take us some time to sort through all that. We do know that the homes we've done, and we've had Sask Research Council monitoring some of the homes to make sure there's no moisture, and you know, seeing what's happening with the temperature changes and stuff, and we've had no problems. But we're getting some feedback from the city saying, well, we want space between the insulation and the wall, and then you know, that just doesn't make sense to me. And other people are saying, well, absolutely shouldn't have any space between the wall and the home, because that's where you're going to cause problems. So you know, we're struggling with some of this stuff. So far, no problems. I'm very confident. In fact, I built my own house, my own new home, with that exact model. That's how confident I am in it. So.
What about in terms of them giving clearances and leeways for lots and for this? Is this a potential issue that you see happening, or with people who want to do these retrofits?
We've had one of my owners that I was working with, where we in a very tight area in Nutana here, where they didn't have space to put the exterior wrap on, so we couldn't do it for them. Or I think we ended up, they could only go 6 inches, and you know, it just didn't make sense economically to do that, because the cost isn't much more to go 6 or 8, but the savings are significantly different. But most of the houses we've worked on so far have been okay for clearances. The wall is the wall, and if we add insulation on the outside of the wall, that makes the wall closer to the property line, and if they're already on the property line, there's nothing we can do about that. So some areas like City Park, well, we would probably have a problem in there too. Most of the work we've been doing has been in areas where that's not an issue, so we've been lucky.
So it depends on the area, how old the area is, the type of conditions in that. And I think city officials, the reason I bring it up is I think city officials are going to have to think about this as people move to be more efficient. And by the way, like, we're talking about you know, the paybacks of energy here. Most people, when they do a retrofit, they're replacing things that they don't think look pretty anymore, and those things have no payback in terms of the savings that you have month after month. You might be able to sell your home for more because someone is going to pay for something that's pretty. That's a very difficult thing to guarantee. We talked a little bit earlier about, you know, the paybacks of this, and why would you put your money into this? If you had money invested in 2008, you might say, well, hey, this is a guaranteed payback. And to me, that's a very valid argument, because this is something that we need to do as a society. And it's, when you really look at it across the big picture, for a new development, you know, a new area of the city, any city or anywhere, if you're building in this way and you're suddenly reducing the need for energy by 80-90%, now this has great repercussions for the utility companies, because maybe now they don't need to buy or spend a whole bunch of money on new infrastructure, and that reduces your utility rates across the board, or you have less need for taxes because all of a sudden you're not bringing in all this new infrastructure. So as we expand in a way which is, and this is very difficult to quantify, I'm just talking very big picture here, but when you really consider how our society develops, the more efficient we can build our society, the less it's going to cost everyone to pay for the new expansion, the new developments that, you know, aren't quite thought of in a sustainable way. We should be thinking about, hey, what are the real costs, you know, not just the short-term costs, and who's paying these costs versus, you know, and this is a very difficult debate, because, you know, taxpayers are going to like the idea of not doing it when a developer has to change their practice and learn brand new things. Some people aren't open to that. Some people are. It's a very difficult discussion, but it's things that people need to really think about in terms of what we're doing and how we move forward. And I think there's a lot of professionals out there. And by the way, that's what my service is to bring these things to the forefront, so that the professionals who do this can make these decisions and can actually engage with the public in a better way, and even to encourage more people to learn these things. I think that anyone who's involved with housing, you're a LEED accredited professional yourself, so am I. I think that anyone who works in housing or in commercial buildings should take LEED, just for the education alone. And I think universities would benefit from incorporating these things into their courses. You know, next week's show is with Dr. Guido Wimmers from the Passive House Institute. He's now with the University of British Columbia, and he's got a program there he's working with. I believe it's wood construction. We'll talk to him about that. But in terms of green features, you guys do things other than just energy. I noticed in the first Verico home you use bamboo flooring. Mm-hmm. You want to speak to that a little bit?
And sure. Yeah, this show has been talking mostly about energy, but we do a number of sustainability features in all of our homes that, you know, people don't think. Sustainability and durability are two things that we build into the homes. And there's a reason for that. Like, the sustainable is obvious in terms of the environment, but also I believe durability is so important, because if that house lasts 10 years longer, it's 10 years longer before we have to kill another tree to build another house. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of things around durability that are so important that we build into the Verico home design that, you know, we need to, as a society, stop building these throwaway houses and stop building, you know, disposable everything. It's like, our houses right now are very, very poorly built, and I don't think they'll be here 100 years from now.
No.
Whereas you, in Europe, every day see houses that are 400 or 500 years old still there. You know, we don't have anything like that in Canada that I've seen. So it's a general problem. The other things that we focus on, and you mentioned all our energy efficiency stuff. We do a lot of around water. Water reduction also saves energy, because, you know, a big chunk of our water is usually hot water for mm-hmm. heating, for dishwashers or clothes washing, or, you know, just showering. We also focus on air quality, a very big part of our focus on air quality. And, you know, we've designed some housing specifically for First Nations, where black mold is a big issue, and mm-hmm. you know, we're dealing with that through our air quality design. So.
And yeah, proper ventilation is something key. And I've mm-hmm. I've talked to various groups recently, and some of them didn't know what a heat recovery ventilator is. And you know, I assume that people know this, but they don't. And ventilation is such a key thing for, you know, getting moisture out of a home, getting, you know, toxics and smells, and, like, even when you're building new, there should be a lot of air coming through, because the paints and sealants and all that stuff is giving off all these things which are really detrimental to human health. And ventilation, like you said, is just key. And very cool. we don't focus on that, but the more ventilation you have, the more energy use you have, so there's also a very fine balance. We'll continue this this discussion of design and cost when we come back. Thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you work in the construction industry and provide a service that heals our planet? Do you take pride in helping your customers save money and fight climate change? Does your product save energy or contribute to a healthier and more sustainable building? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then Shane Wolf can help you market your eco-friendly product or service by reaching and educating your potential customers. Our mission at FutureProofMyBuilding.com is to remove the barriers traditionally associated with building above and beyond the code. We want to make it easier for you to provide a more valuable, higher efficiency, more sustainable building with your products and services. As a trusted service provider or product seller of FutureProofMyBuilding.com, you can now reduce your time and effort trying to explain
the long-term benefits versus the short-term cost to your customers,
and leave that job to us. That way, you can spend your time doing what you do best, building green. Let's build a better world together. Register your business now at FutureProofMyBuilding.com/register.
Take us on the go. It's even easier now. The Voice America Talk Radio Network has launched our mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market to download the app powered by Aircast. It's free and no registration is necessary. In minutes, you could be enjoying your favorite Voice America Talk Radio host, no matter where you are. In the car, out and about, while traveling, or anytime you can't be close to your computer. Catch up on the archives you've missed or discover new shows on the spot. Search Voice America at your favorite app store.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus, topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
News, opinion, your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Future Proof Radio. To reach Shane Wolf or today's guest, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788, or send an email to shane@futureproofradio.com. Now, back to this week's show.
Welcome back to Future Proof Radio. My name's Shane Wolf. I'm here with Ron LePage from Verico Homes in Saskatoon. And before the break there, we were talking about the different aspects of green. It's not just energy savings. There's durability. There's ventilation, which is a huge thing that is quite often overlooked, and I'm going to spend more time with that topic in the future. But maybe, Ron, can you talk about a few more of the green features that you you build into your product?
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about energy savings, and we focus on the three areas. So we do things to reduce the cost of space heating. We also do things to reduce hot water costs. And finally, generally, the lights and appliances, how can we reduce the energy used there? And then obviously, we talked a bit about water. Water is a bigger deal than I think it is, or most people think it is. And I think it's going to be a ball breaker in the future. So I'm starting to get my clients more thinking around reducing water consumption. My wife and I are now at about 20% of what a typical city user would use. And it's not like we're suffering. We're just being careful. Yeah.
Wow.
A big part of that is zero-scaping. About 40% of the average household uses their water for exterior watering purposes, which we've eliminated. So there's things you can easily do to do that. The other area we talked about was indoor we talked about indoor air quality, but I focus on just indoor quality completely. So that includes lighting, making sure the lighting's good, the right light in the right room, as much natural sunlight in every room as possible. You know, things like that to make the house super comfortable to live in for everybody. We use sustainable materials always, wherever we can. So, you know, bamboo flooring instead of walnut makes a big difference on the environment. You know, we'll use FSC certified lumber in the construction. It doesn't cost the owner anything. You just got to ask for it, and you can get it by asking for it. So it's not hard to do.
Really?
You know, I've gone completely away from asphalt shingles. The joke in the industry about asphalt and vinyl siding is that, you know, it's 20-year warranty on the house, but it's 1,000 years in the dump before it deteriorates. That's just not the right thing to do. So we've gone away from that. We're using, you know, hardy panel siding or something like that that's more degradable, and metal roofs standard on every Verico home, unless there's a restriction because of some building codes in some communities won't allow them. So we're focused a lot on that. Finally, we try to ensure that our builders have a minimum impact on the area they're working in. So, you know, minimize how much waste they've got. To clean up the site every day as you're building, so that you know you're not making an impact the environment mm-hmm. through the construction process. It's easy to do, and we really try to spend time on that. So it's important.
Well, and all of those things that Ron was just saying, those are all various aspects of LEED, which is the green building standard pretty much all over the world. And, you know, it's not difficult to do these things. The main thing is awareness, and that's the whole point of this show, is to bring about awareness to these things, because really it's not that hard to know that, hey, we impact the world. You know, what our decisions impact the world. And I mean, it's not that hard to not make as much garbage if you're really thinking about it. It's not that hard to use less energy or less water. As you said, xeriscaping, you probably don't have to mow a lawn now, which is, you know, a lot of people don't want to spend their time mowing a lawn in the summertime. You don't probably have to even run sprinklers, do you?
No.
So there, that's another cost savings there, that other than just the water, you don't have to run those sprinklers. So Ron, what can customers do to get in touch with you and to start this process if they're interested?
Sure. The key thing, I think, is design the home properly. And that's where Verico has been focused on, is that whole design process. And we've got a really good program now where we're practically giving away smart green design. We'll design your home for you, including preliminary floor plans, preliminary elevations, energy forecasts using HOT 2000, the detailed specifications to go to your builder to build the house. And, you know, that whole package, including a three-dimensional model of your home, is $500. So it's a no-brainer for people that are interested in seeing what they could do. And we can work with an existing plan. So if you've got a house you're really happy with that you want to adapt to make it a greener home, we can take that plan and work with it. Or we can start with a plan you've scratched out on a napkin, which is quite a few of the ones I've been getting lately. So, but we'll help you to go from there. And they can contact me. My email is Ron at ronlepage.com. Ron with two N's, R-O-N-N at ronlepage.com. And I'm typically available 24/7, so I'll get back to them quickly, and you know, we'll get something going for them.
That's a very good deal, everyone, because it's not an easy job to learn, and I've seen firsthand what these houses are, and they're much better than the conventional, and they're, I would much rather live in a safe home myself than what we conventionally do. We're going to wrap the show up soon, but I want to remind everyone to join my mailing list at futureproofmybuilding.com, so you can actually learn more about these techniques and actually understand the science. I there were a few times I had to stop myself from saying a few things from my book, like, you know, why would you use more insulation? Well, if it's cold on, you put on a jacket. You know, it's pretty cold here where we live, so wear a bloody jacket. You know, and we don't build those into what we do typically. And so that's just a simple analogy, and I have quite a few of those in the book. But the thing is that we're only going to change this world through awareness. And so, like, if you want to see a change, learn what you need to and start making a difference, because apathy really solves nothing. You can follow us on Facebook. Do a search for futureproofmybuilding.com on Facebook, or it's facebook.com/futureproofsolutions. You can follow me on Twitter at futureproofcx. My next guest is going to be Dr. Guido Wimmers from, he's the director of the Canadian Passive House Institute, and he actually built the Austrian Pavilion for Vancouver 2010, which was used during the Olympics. It's located in Whistler. Don't forget, everything starts with you, and I hope that we've helped you explore your ideas of what is possible for you and for the world. And I want to remind you to live right now and into the future. And the way we did things in the past, that doesn't have to exist anymore. We can move forward and do something better. So let's create something new and better for everyone. Let's future-proof the world. You can email me at shane@futureproofradio.com. And I want to remind you that, you know, we can only speak in generalities here. We don't know every situation, so nothing my guest or I have said in this show can be taken as professional advice. And thanks for listening. Tune in next time, and let's build a better world.
Thank you for making Future Proof Radio a part of your week. Please join your host, Shane Wolf, for another edition next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. See you on the next show.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.